don't know what's going on down here. First time here. But you know what? He came in into some people that loved him. We didn't have to know you. And we believed when they come through those lines, that minister been going about 15, 20. Teresa's, she's going to make sure there ain't nobody goes through there without the gospel anymore. It won't ever happen. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. But he was in that line. Now he's serving that line. Hallelujah. Don't ever let you convince the Satan and people convince you that our God is not big enough to deliver, to set free, to heal, to raise your record back under. Hallelujah. To pay off your property. Got him all of that. Hallelujah. It's called God's favor. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was God's favor poured out on us through Jesus. And he's not a religion guy with us the other day. You know, you're going to be confronted out here on what you believe and what you get. That's why I preach here, be a Bible student. Be a person of that Bible. Praise God that when something is said or something is preached or somebody believes and they have an opinion about it, it lines up with the Bible or you don't bite it. Because the Bible, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciple. And then you will know the truth. He didn't say people don't tell you the truth. He said, then you'll know the truth. He said, and the truth will make you free. Well, I found out, I've got to go, and they call it testimony night service. When you got the ministry up there. That door opened up. See, God's favor and God's favor is already on you if you're born again. You're highly favored of the Lord, and he surrounds you according to the Bible with his favor. Jesus grew in stature and favor with God and with man, and we are his disciples. And we grow in stature and favor with God and man continually. We continually walk in God's favor. God's favor, you can be in a place, I'll just tell you, I got born again and I'm going up there, you know, and I thought, testimony. Dude, I'm going to tell them how to leave that testimony in the dust. And I'm talking about grow, hallelujah, and go, hallelujah. I mean, I'm 3 weeks old in the Lord reading that Bible and read in there where that Jesus stripped Satan of all power. He was and made a show of him openly, and it became real to me right then. And I went around for 3 or 4 weeks old in the Lord casting out devils wherever they was at. That devil lost his victory over your life when you said, yes, Jesus, come into my life, however you did it, and you let him into your life, you let him into your life, you came in and was seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right then. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and everything that is named. You've been given authority. You've been given authority over poverty. See, I didn't change jobs to begin to see God pour out his blessings in my life. I begin to go to the house of the Lord and read that word. And I begin to tithe and I begin to give God offerings and tell him I would like to have a nicer truck, God. I'm sowing his seed for it. I learned that from the great Oral Roberts. He said to name your seed. If you've got a need, plant a seed. Great Oral Roberts taught it. His ministry, his legacy is still going today. And I thought, well, by God, he said it worked. Well, then I went in the Bible. This is not my message, best can tell you. She said, it says over. I said, there's no way I'm going to flip that page. Look, preachers, ministers, the sermon's got to be in you. Not on you, just your notebook. It's good. See, I learned, the only way it seemed like I could learn in school if they made me write it 190 times. You know, they made me write it 190 times, you know, if you did something wrong, don't do this, don't chew gum, don't whatever. You know, don't spitballs to teachers through a straw. I would remember it. When I'd go, I'd be like, man, that was terrible. That was terrible. So I made it a habit of writing it down. Just, I've got notebook after notebook full of sermons that I've wrote down, just wrote down, not so really I could remember them, but it helps me. So whatever helps you, but have it in you. Have it on the inside of you, hallelujah. You are a walking epistle. Y'all mean it, and I learned that. I went to a service one night, and the preacher man supposed to preach was in a revival. And so come up his time, and he gets up there and embarrasses all of us. His wife didn't give him time to get his Bible notebook out. When he got his legs out, swoosh, took off at the church with his Bible. So all he could say is, the devil run off with my message. I could have crawled under the pews, man. All of them knew I knew him. That was terrible. And I left there and I thought, that will never happen to me. Teresa wouldn't run off and leave me like that. But if she wants to run off with it like that, or somebody does, I'm going to have that word in me, Richard. And I made up my mind, like the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that you'll have an answer to give to them that need. Hallelujah. And Nita, when you go tomorrow for your checkup, we all have checkups. I'm believing God, you're believing God. She's like, oh, they said this, but I'm healed. I'm believing God, I'm healed. That's what you're supposed to do. You're standing out there alone in your living room or wherever you at work, and you've got these reports, hallelujah. We're getting reports every day through the news. Trump's going to kill all of them over. I'm like, dude, you know what? He's not a threater. In other words, he don't threaten the adversary. He tells the adversary what he's going to do, and you either do that or... That's what we do to Satan. Yeah. All of that, over there, they have to deal with all that. I don't know about all that. But all of this warfare is going on against your mind as a Christian, through media, through your co-workers, through your neighbors. You know, all of that, all the time, to trying to get you to not put God's word first place and final authority in your believing, in living. Now, you're going to go tomorrow, we're believing for a good report. Whatever he said that report was, we're going to believe contrary to that report, that God is faithful to back his word up, and you are healed by his stripes. You've already been healed, and you will. The Bible says in Matthew 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. That's written in red letters. I've said it ever since I came out of poverty. I broke poverty. Jesus broke it. And I found out, praise God, I had to break it in my life, that all I had to do is walk in him. I found out that he would supply over abund my finances, that I could do the supernatural things that he wanted me to do. I found out that he would take a little and put his favor on it, and it would do a lot. See, I was down there, and I didn't know if God was real or not. I knew he was real, but I didn't know if he'd really show up in the natural or not and help me. Help me have a good marriage. All I ever wanted was a good marriage. Later I got born again, I started believing it was possible. I read in there where it says, all things are possible to them that believe. Satan tried to tell me that was for preachers. I told him I am one. Should have went over there and told somebody else. But it's not for preachers. He said, all things are possible to those that believe. He says, you go and you cast out devils. You heal the sick. I bought that property up there, Page Springs Road, and I stood up on that hill because I realized this. I realized that if God is not, don't have property down here. Now, he owns the earth and everything, but he give it to us. You understand that? It's been given to us to steward over. He wants his glory covering the earth. Every area of the earth is going to be filled with the glory of God, the Bible says. Praise God. Well, when I realized that God had need of that property. He wanted me to have it. Now I make plans with the property, clean it off, put some cows on it, and create problems for myself. Teresa tells me all the time, I'll say, man, I'm just too busy. She said, you do it. You create stuff for yourself. You know? And I'm like, well, I guess I enjoy it. So anyways, I stood up there on that property and I told Satan, I said, I am here. God owns this property. And I told him, I said, in every inch of it, the anointing is going to flow on it. And it's going to flow in every direction from this place. And I'm here and I'm releasing God's glory on this valley in Jesus. Now, you just happen to be in that valley. I don't know if you live there now, but they had it down in there. The glory's moving on down. Moving on, moving on. We ain't moving up. We moving down there where he's at. Now, some people don't believe that works that way, but I do. This building right here has been a skating rink. This building's been a feed store. This building's been a garage door company. And it's been all of that. And then God says, no, I want it to be my house. And so I had put money in it, and I told God, them people, when they get here, is going to pay me back. Y'all don't even know nothing about it yet. One of the people here going to start a church, they going to give me my money back that I've got in the building, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm telling God. And the Lord said, how did you get it? And I had to go all the way back, Johnny, when nobody would loan me $10 on a weed eater that only $100. I had to go all the way back, and God said, I want you to go to this bank right here, and you tell them the truth. It was in Locust Ford. I'm like, why can't I go to Indiana? You know, there was one man down there that was the only one, and God knew it. That's why I said be led. You were led in every the business deals, all that. Well, I go down there, praise God, and I walk in there, and I tell that guy I want to buy this right here. And he said, well, we need to do a credit check. I said, there's no need in you doing a credit check. You won't loan it to me if you do. I'm sitting there with that banker, man. I'm 28 years old, John. I just come out of drugs, not drugs like drugs today. I wouldn't have. I worked two or three jobs. I took enough speed to keep me up for days and take a nap if I could. It kept me awake and then went back to work. These drugs today are poison. They're terrible. They're not really drugs anymore. Well, anyways, I've been there, you know, and I'm sitting there, and all I've got done is God. He is enough. You got it? He's enough. I'm sitting there, got God, but nothing but a bunch of dreams. But that was enough, Nita. And I said, look, man, my credit's bad, blah, blah, blah. Man, I even told him, I said, I wish my daddy had died so he'd get off of me about the payments on the truck. He died. I didn't cause him to die. I was lost, man. He's on me about being faithful and earning his credit. Travis knows how that feels. He's good now. He ain't got nothing, nobody's name, so he pays them on time. Beth, don't let it go now. Don't let it go. They charged me $18 for being late. Well, Mom saved you a bunch of money. But you know what? Praise God. Sat there in the glory of God. We have the favor of God on us if we're born again. And then we get into a world that is not impossible anymore, because we know that if God is for us, that who can be against us? God is for us. And then I tell the Lord this building all of that. He said, I'm going to let you have it. I said, sure. Shot me. He said, when you want to close out? I said, well, he's as quick as possible. He said, well, we're going to close out on it next week. He said, I need you to have me $3,100. He might as well told me to go rob a bank. I might have had $10 in my pocket. See, don't let us that's walked through and learned how to believe God forget the ones behind us. To tell them you might have nothing, but we know the one that brought us from where you are at. We know him. And we know no matter what generation we're in, he is the same God. Same God. So I said, no problem. I got right up and went out and I said, oh God. I couldn't get my truck. Oh Jesus. And he said, if you only believe. And then I thought, oh, that's what that means. All things are possible if I believe. And I didn't take it as a burden. I thought, oh my God, I'm not alone in this. God is for me. Well, we went on, prayed God, and I told President we're closing out, and I said, thank you, Lord. The Lord, that doors are open, Lord. And I mean, in 2 or 3 days, Johnny, he poured in the work that we couldn't make happen, and that day I carried him $3,100 cash money. I think that's about, I made $13,000 a year, so that was a lot of money. That was a lot of money. Anyhow, I begin to see. So I'm not telling you a story, John. I'm telling you God knew you was going to be sitting in here tonight. God knew you was going to be in Bluntsville. God knew you was going to be, he knows where we're, if he wanted us in California right now, Mom and them, they would have decided we'd like the Beverly Hills, be loaded up the truck and to move to Beverly. But he didn't. We were here. We are here for a reason. We are here for a purpose. And it's not just to have our own life. He'll bless you. I mean, he'll bless you to where you'll be a major blessing. He'll bless you. He will if you follow him. If you go after him. If you want his will. He'll put his will in your heart. And it'll be things in the natural and the supernatural. Then he'll give you the word of God. He will give you the faith to believe that he's able to do that. And that faith will move mountains and bring in every provision that you ever have need of. Everything me and you have need of has already been supplied for us in the spiritual realm. Contractors for garage doors. I dispatch angels. I told the Lord, we hadn't had a lot to do this week, and I'm like, praise God, I'm off. Finally, I know how Travis and them feels. He's in agreement with God. Yes, yes. Go another week, God. Just another week will be good. 3 weeks will find me. Beth will finally kick him out. She can only take so much of him. That's the way she is with me. I mean, I can't hang too much there. I start getting too messy and stuff, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. God is not slack. Who would you have ever thought that you would have hanging on your wall a license to preach the gospel? You wouldn't either. Johnny is too. Them lost people, they better look out. We're sending them out. They've been here being raised up. Raised up to believe God and not be afraid of the devil and fast and pray when all bad things are going on in their lives. Hallelujah. I thought Johnny turned into a white boy. The new fast is 30 days, wasn't it? 40. Jesus. He's got pastor beat. I don't know how he made it. God. He come in one time and I thought, I'm going to bring him a garage door rope off of the garage door to tie his pants up. He comes in, man. He's getting skinny. Yeah, like old Jeffro. But you know what? See, when Johnny, I didn't know. I didn't And I tried not to find out about what was going on with y'all guys, because I'm better off not to know, because then it don't bother me at all to go and get a message from the Lord that I mean is just bringing strikes in your life. Poof, and I know nothing about it. Then we know it's God. But I saw him. I saw him. I saw him press in. I saw him get more faithful to church. I saw him get more dedicated to the things of God. Hallelujah. Because he knew where his help had to come from. He knew that this is not going to be good without God. Now I'm reading your mind, but I mean, maybe I guess. I would have been in that. But I seen him and Samantha. I seen them get deliverance after a long time. They was in that battle a while. See, look, God lets you get ready for the week long battles. Then a month long, 2 months, 6, a year. Oh, but he brings glory out of it. And I can guarantee you, their little bitty trials now are getting rid of a game. That's great. Seriously. I mean, doesn't come up out of the place where you ain't, oh God, please show up. No, we come on to the place where we're like, God will show up. There ain't no need to sweat it. Just get rid of this game right here. Taking more time than it needs, whatever it is. Mine's Marketplace. Dude, I mean, I'm at work thinking I got to hurry up and get home so I can see what's on Marketplace. Oh, there might be a good tiller on there, a junk one. I don't want a good one. I like to go get the junk I got to work on. Then I drag it up and I enjoy it like men do fishing or y'all yarning or drinking y'all's coffee or whatever y'all do. I've had fun for 2 days. I've spread dirt. I mean, I've spread dirt and planted grass. I told D. I said I planted grass over there for 18 years. I'm done. She said, "You're not done." I thought, whatever. I say it every other year. I'm done with this grass, and then it needs it. Then I'm out there doing that grass and I'm saying, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I have some land you give me here. Lord, you gave it to me, God. If you had to, now I'm glorifying the Lord. After all this, my arms about got wore out from going, shoo, shoo, shoo. That might be big spots. And then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to have to go build my arms up now in Jesus' name because it's showing my wrinkles. I'm getting wrinkled, man. I'm 59 years old. So I've lotioned it up, keep it from lotion the other one. Yeah, soften it up. Maybe it won't be as wrinkled. And the Lord said, no, he said, you're going to have to tighten it up. And I thought, oh, no, that sounds rough. There ain't but one way to tighten it up. Right? Now I'm going to have that Mark 11:24 for that. Right? Oh, Lord, these barbells, they're going to make me strong and get rid of this fat. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. You said you'd give me the desires of my heart, Lord, if I would delight myself. And you said you would bring it to pass. So thank you, Lord, for strength to tighten it up where I don't look all wrinkled. You like wrinkles? Just don't do nothing. You can take pills for it and it don't work. They look in the mirror, yeah, I think I'm looking better. 3 years later, they see themselves every day and they don't realize how bad they do look because they're normal. Right? Just doing a little bit of time, so it looks normal. I ain't changing a bit. Yes, you are. But you know what? It don't make no difference. I've been going from 28 years old, Mac, from one level of faith to another, from one level of glory to another. And I done found out, Jesse, that his glory don't run out. That whoever goes after him and does their best to put him first and do his will and have that heart after him, that's not a bad thing. They go from faith to faith and glory to glory, and he will reveal his glory in your life. My neighbor told me one time, I'm always dragging stuff in, you know.
front end loader, old Chevelles, different things, you know. He told me one time, he said, man, he said, you're the luckiest guy I ever seen. I never catch a good deal like that. I said, it ain't luck. I said, it's favor. I said, it's Jesus. I told him, I said, there ain't no such thing as luck. I said, the only luck that I had before Jesus, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Ruby, spare and agony on me, hee-haw, y'all. They sang that song and old daddy would sit there, hee-haw, hee-haw. He didn't know Jesus. Well, I heard that after I got born again, and I said, I'm turning him off. Dad was broke. Dad, oh man, had that thinking. I come in with a car, Johnny. It had a 440 in it. It was a Dodge with a 440 Roadrunner, 71 or 2 model or something like that. I cut the mufflers off before I got home. Blah, 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 blah. Man, I'd have cut them off, man. Beat them off a hammer. I liked it loud. I didn't want to hear nothing. Couldn't hear the radio. Pulled up there and dad, good Lord, boy, where'd you get that? I said, well, I traded that little station wagon, little four-cylinder. Station wagon, 76 models, something. He said, good Lord. He said, you ain't even going to have enough money to put gas to get out of the yard in that thing. That's the way he thought. If it ain't a Pinto or something like that, man. Nothing over a 6-cylinder. I never knew my dad owning a V8. I got born again, prayed God, and the Lord began to tell me you can afford anything that I tell you that you can afford because I'm your daddy. I'm your father. Y'all remember about the prodigal son, don't you? But before he left his, he said, while you was with me, you had it all. He said, you could have partied, he didn't say, but he could have partied anytime he wanted to, right? He could eat that fatted calf anytime he wanted it, praise God, showing how that God is faithful to you. But you got an adversary, and his name is Satan. And according to John 10, he is a thief. According to John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why Mac was in there smoking that meth. That's why Mac was suing. Mac's been on top. Mac has made hundreds of thousands of dollars with his own business before. And finally got tripped up by his adversary. And his adversary, see, Satan don't have no mercy. He's got none. God is merciful. But Satan, he's like, the only way he could really get you is to get you to kill yourself. He just got me and you to make those choices that took us to jail and wherever we went. He got us, because you can't make people do nothing. He entices them. He gives them visions of how good it will be if you go do that. He'll give it to you now. Oh, quit church. You got Jesus. You just got, everybody got Jesus. Everybody got Jesus. Everybody got Jesus. They got a fake Jesus. The real Jesus gives you overcoming power continually. The flow of the blood of Jesus continually flowing in our lives to overcome every adversary, every foe, every fear. And walk in, I've made a statement before, you know, heard it. It wasn't original for me. But this preacher, he said, if you live a life of faith, he said, then you don't have to make no adjustments when bad things happen. He said, because you live in faith, and how you live in faith is you put God's word first place and final authority. If it says in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to obey whatever he tells us to do, command, he said, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. I believed that down there, and I took offerings to the church and started tithing when I was making $200 and something dollars a week.
Before I quit that place less than a year and went into my own business, I was making $445 a week in less than a year. I didn't ask for one raise. I begin to believe God to increase me. It's going to overtake me somehow. It's going to come on me and overtake me. That's all I was believing. It started, and it ain't stopped. 33 years. That word, you can't wear that word out. Praise God. So take God's word. I mean, it ain't like I just got in and meditated on the whole Bible for 3 weeks and knew it all. No, I would take the word and I would write it on a little sticky note or something. I had it on my rear view mirror. I turned off secular music. You can't get me to listen to it anymore. If it's on at the job site, I go to job, went to one the other day, guy ain't even there and he's just playing secular music in the shop. And I'm like, God, scrambling my brain. So I go over there and find his plug. Now unplug it. I'm not going to stand there and listen to that for 35 minutes while I fix his door. Now, if the guy's there, I am kind of lenient. I block it out. Now, I'm not doing that to be religious, Richard. I ain't got time to go back 10 years and let nothing carry me back. 10 years. I ain't got time for that. So I plug into good praise and worship. I cut that off or plug into my mind today. I'm feeling like I've quit a job because I'm off. I'm feeling guilty. I'm serious. I'm going down the road and I'm like, I mean, I just feel like a dog today. It's because I'm not working. I mean, it's, you know, garage doors. I'm feeling guilty. And the Lord said, what are you thinking that for? He said, turn the radio on. Mine stays on WDJC, so I turned it on. Before you know it, I'm like, ooh, yes, thank you, Lord, for being off for a couple of days. Got to learn to rejoice to be off. That's a good thing to me. I was a quitter back under. I quit jobs. I wouldn't work and all that. My wife finally got a house because I started working. Praise the Lord. This is not the message that I had. But I told Teresa, I said, I think I'm going to talk about the favor, but I'm not real sure. You know. See, if you're going to preach, he's going to have to learn that he don't have to give it to you for a month and a half before you get there. And then, you know, about every time I preach, something happens the day before to get me mad. That's been happening here for 24 years. And people say, well, I'm going through right now. Can you wait till next week? No, because you ain't going to make it. If you can't preach right now while you're in hot water, you know what you're going to preach when you get out? This feminine Jesus. Oh, Jesus is so good. You just got to wait till he gets everything straightened out in your life. In the end, you don't have to fight. No, the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. That devil can't do nothing to every one of y'all. Not unless you just go right here. Tie my hands. Come on, devil, tie me up. Do it now in Jesus' name. You got to just let him. Hallelujah. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I thank you now that you've got us ready and we are fixing to take some devils down in Jesus' name. Y'all went through what you went through and God showed up and all of that. Y'all are not even afraid of him. I don't hear him stand up, y'all the devil, pray for us. I have an unspoken prayer request. Unspoken. What does that mean? You don't speak it, we don't know what to pray for. Right? Let's keep it secret. Let's just keep that's not biblical. If I want you to pray, I'm gonna speak it out. Hey man, I need $1,000, man. I need y'all in agreement with me. But God. That's Satan. unspoken prayer request. We don't want nobody to know about it. We can't pray for that. What do you pray? Oh, Lord, let your will be done. That's all we can. And we don't know. But if we know what it is, if they need some money, they need healing, they have a marital trouble, they've got whatever they've got, you know. We can come in agreement. We can say the according to Deuteronomy 28, that's under the curse, and we've been redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death, that the blessing of Abraham comes on us. Praise God. That's under the curse, and we bind it. I bind that deed in Jesus' name. It's under the curse. Satan tells me you're getting wrinkled up, and I remind him of what the Bible says. I say, Satan, I already know that. I look at it. And you ain't going to get me to feeling bad about being 59. I'm nearly 60. You know, and I tell him, the Bible says that the outward man's perishing, but my inward man, I'm going to kick you clean into kingdom come with it. Praise God, hallelujah. My ears being unlevel don't define me. I bake through the top of my head now. I used to have hair, but that don't bother me a bit. Came in here the other day, I told the Lord a few years ago, I said, Lord, now I don't mind being white-headed if that's what you want. You know, Lord, but I appreciate my hair not turning gray. In Jesus' name. And so I talked to my hair, you're not going to change. And Jesus, every now and then, there's one, Teresa, there's one, it's a gray one. And I'll be like, leave it alone. Came in here one day, Teresa's grandmother walked back through there and she said, you're dying your hair, ain't you? And I said, no. Teresa's dyed it, wasn't my hair you dyed. This is turning, man, she made me look terrible. Well, she's trying to get this to match this. And I think that she didn't think it was enough, so let's do it. I can't remember. And when it did, it really got dark. Now I look weird. I think my skin was black, really. I think it dyed my skin under the hair. And so, I mean, that stuff won't scrub off. So she says, I never dyed my hair. She said, your hair, you're 50. I was 57 or 58 that day. You're 58? You're being serious? I said, yeah, I ain't dying. God keeps Scotty looking good. Hallelujah. I mean, I thought, Lord, if I have to come to the place to where my hair has defeated me, I will get rid of it like Johnny and them does. Buddy, I'll come in here and I'll look like a slick onion. Y'all have to get used to that. Y'all have your own battle then. Buddy, that dye was challenging me. And I'm like, I feel fake. You know, I feel fake. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, I'll be glad when that wears off, man. So I quit looking in the mirror, Johnny. Praise God. Why? Because anything that comes to get you oppressed and discouraged, hallelujah, you got to slap it down. I mean slap it down and get your foot on its neck and tell it I'm a child of the Most High God. I prosper everything I set my hands to do. And you speak to poverty. If you're in poverty, you can't make ends meet and all of that stuff. Don't think you're stuck to your limit, whatever your job is or the government check or disability. I've seen God going to heal. I went, Lord said, go pray for his feet. I went and prayed for his feet. God healed his feet. About 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, God said, go back. I'm going to heal his back, his own disability. I went back, told my brother, I said, man, he's sending us back. I said, let go. We'd go down there. And I told him, I mean, he's out there, boy. And I mean, he's having a good time raking leaves. And I said, well, called his name. I said, we're back again. I said, God told me to come down here and he's going to heal your back. And I started, he said, don't pray for me. I said, what? What do you mean don't pray for you? He said, I'll lose my disability. He would not allow me to pray for him. I thought, man, you can heal your back and you're not going to be sore or nothing no more. And you can go. God, I mean, I was younger. I admit it. You know, but I was thinking, you can go make millions in Jesus' name. You know how to put up with that $500 a month. He wouldn't, that's how you reject healing. You rejected it. He fought against it. He never got healed of his back. I told the Lord, I said, there ain't no amount of money on this planet ever going to stop me from receiving from you, praise God, because you can make me very rich. I get a lot of flack for having money, D. But you know what? I can go tear my sister's garden up with Teresa's tractor. Her tractor. Go out there, tear it up. Got plenty of seeds. Why? Because I got plenty of money. I had plenty of seeds. She didn't have no money. I don't guess. I don't know. I didn't ask her. She'd send me a check whenever. And so I thought, well, I'll just cure somebody's squash, cure somebody's okra, and cure somebody. I cured her a whole garden full of stuff. And then she only needed 18 meters. She got her whole garden tore up, furnished, and planted in 3 days. Hallelujah. And she done had somebody trying to fix her tiller and couldn't get it going. I didn't even really know it. God's like, well, I don't have to have a tiller. I got plenty of. And see, if you've got a tiller, God's got one. Right? If I've got a tractor, God's got a tractor if I'm willing to do what he says. So somebody don't even have to buy a tractor. They need a tractor and God knows it and you're willing and they're believing and God speaks to you, they're supplied and they ain't even got to keep the tires aired up. Hallelujah, that's how it works. Am I bragging on that? No, I want some of them. She's going to have some of the best tomatoes. I growed some of the best tomatoes over there. That's coal mine land. So she don't know it. I want some of them tomatoes. I'll trade her some of my blunts full of tomatoes for her rows of tomatoes. Hallelujah, praise God. So God's just wanting to encourage us tonight. You know, put that word first place. Little, just do it in the little things. I mean, do it in the little things. And before you know it, it will be automatic for you to turn to God's word. It will be automatic that you will walk in faith. You won't have to try to get yourself in it anymore. The Bible says you're already in the Spirit when you're born again, when you give your heart to Jesus. You're in the Spirit. Teresa told me the other day, she said, I went years trying to get in the Spirit when she was in the Spirit. You can't get in something you're in. But we didn't know it, and the Bible tells us. But once you find that knowledge in that Bible, you're like, oh, yeah. Now, this same spirit right here is how I'm going to quit killing people, if I get a chance. I'm going to quit. You do it by the Spirit of God. And it's not even you doing it. He does it in you, praise God. So I want to encourage you, hallelujah. Realize you've got God's favor. And dream. Dream about being debt-free. I mean, dream, y'all in your 20s and 30s. Say, I'm not going to be 80 and be like that broke lady. I'm going to serve you, God. And I'm going to believe God, the end of my life, I'm going to be wealthier than I am right now. Lord, I'm not going to depend on jobs my whole life. I'm going to depend on your favor and anointing on my job and increase me. Hallelujah. I'm 59 years old. I've been saying it for 30 years. I'm not living off of Social Security only. I'm going to get it. Might buy a load of dirt a week or something. You know, something to piddle with. But the Lord is our living. The Lord is our increase. The Lord is our promotion. He's the one that sets our future. His plans that he has for us, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we